And so I started, I was like, Jesus, why would you do this? Why would you do this? And I asked Julie, I said, why do you think he would do this? I mean, he could simply have gone, oh, yeah, it's getting late. Thanks for being here. We'll see you guys. Right? Would there have been anything wrong with that? He didn't invite them. Wasn't like his house, right? So for him to simply say, we've enjoyed the day, all of you who have been miraculously healed, I'm sure you're very glad you were here. You know, y'all can make your way home now. Would there have been anything wrong with that? No, of course not. He could have let his guys go off and try to organize and pay for the food and somehow bring it back and get there in time, which would have been difficult. He could have gone that route if he just wanted to make sure the people got fed, right? But he didn't. He personally provided for them. Why? And as I got the answer, which is so simple, it was obvious, it began to open up a whole other thing. Why would he do that? The simple reason, it's because he loved them. He welcomed them because he loved them. He talked to them about the kingdom of God because he loved them. Think back up to the 11th verse. That's what we're talking about. It says this crowd came and he welcomed all of them. That's an immense crowd of people. And they didn't all come at one time, okay? They came from different areas up to a total of 5,000 people plus women and children. He welcomed them all. He welcomed them. Why? Because he loved them. And he began to talk to them about the kingdom of God. Why? Because he loved them, and he knew that those who were hearing his words later on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit of God came into the earth, that these would be some of the ones who immediately thereafter would be being born of the Spirit and become children of God. They would become his brothers and his sisters. And so he was telling them about the kingdom of God. And he was healing all of those who had need of being restored. Why? Go ahead and say it. Because he loved them, right? That's why he did it. Well, Mark, that's not particularly a huge revelation. Listen. In my intercession for you for this morning, as I told Julie on the way over here, I can give you the words, but I can't give you the revelation. That comes by the Spirit of God. But you have to cooperate. You have to have some faith for that. He was nourishing and cherishing his body. That's exactly what Paul wrote in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, the 29th verse, as he was making that comparison in the 5th chapter between the man and the wife and Jesus and the church. He said, no man hates his own body, but nourishes it and cherishes it. Jesus recognized, he knew, he understood that these people and I know billions, maybe more, would be his body. Now, the way that came, thinking immediately over into Colossians, the 1st chapter, 26 and 27, Paul said that this mystery has been kept hidden in secret or concealed from the ages and generations, and it has now been made clear to his hagios, saints, special people, those designated ones. And then the line that I've known again for so much of my life, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And as that came into my mind, I realized immediately when it says Christ in you, you listening? That in the Greek text is going to be en. It doesn't just mean in, it means contained. Say contained. Christ contained. Say contained again. You getting it yet? Christ contained in you the elpis, expectation of the doxa, the reflection. Christ contained in you the expectation of the reflection. Again, we've been through doxa so many times. How many times did Paul use this idea of light and being reflected and the knowledge of God being reflected in you? Christ contained in you the expectation of the reflection. For decades, there's been an expression I'm sure most of you are familiar with, like, you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body, right? Right? Paul said it was a mystery, but I'm talking about Christ in the church. Jesus also has a body that he lives in. You. I've known that my whole life, but now I'm looking at it going, whoa. This is so much more. We are the church, right? We say that all the time. We're the church. We are the body of Christ. Okay? He lives in a body. The church is made up of many members, right? All of us. We are all, quote, the body, right? We are all a body. Jesus lives in a body. He lives in, contained in you.